You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we are observing Bethlehem's 113th church anniversary. Our congregation has existed for many years, but for what purpose? I'm here to state today that we are in the readiness business. We are in the readiness business. That means we are trying to rightly handle God's holy word. We are trying to rightly administer the sacraments so that God the Holy Spirit can work through such things in order to make people ready for the return of Jesus and in order to keep people ready for the return of Jesus. Regarding today's gospel reading, we're looking at the parable of the 10 virgins, and in the Lutheran Study Bible, it has this summary. Jesus warns that many invited to share in the eternal joy of his kingdom will miss out by failing to have a living faith at the end. Jesus had a great concern about that. When did he share that parable? He shared it on Tuesday of Holy Week. So in just a few days, he was going to the cross. In just a few days, he would be done addressing the multitudes. So he tried to share some very important things with them, and that's what we have here today. I believe that Jesus said what he said because he was trying to expose people that we might say on one hand are pretenders, pretending to be in Christ when they're not, but on the other hand, he was trying to expose people who actually think they're okay when in fact they're not. So we have both kinds of people there. And then also, too, for all such people who know their need, Jesus is calling them to receive him. And then he's even talking to us, too, because he wants us to know how important it is to be ready through him and to remain ready until finally we are with him forever. Going back to the gospel reading, in verse 1, Jesus said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom." So I think all 10 of them, they are ones who would have said they are Christians, and all 10 of them are ones who felt like they are ready for the return of Christ. But Jesus told us the truth, though. For some of them, they were truly ready. For other ones, they were actually not ready. And then he said, 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. So, first of all, Jesus says, 5 were foolish, 5 were wise, but then he tells us how we know that is true. So just looking at them, we can't tell. So looking at the 2 flashlights, we can't tell which is a good one, which is not a good one. But he said, though, one is good, one isn't. What we find out is when we push the switch, we find out that I happen to have 2 good ones here with me, and I left the other bad one over there. So these 2 happen to be okay, but if I grabbed the black one from over there, the other black one, I would find out that, oh, that one doesn't work because I have the batteries right here for it. So it makes a big difference what's on the inside. We couldn't see which one was which until they took their action. One group had batteries, the other group did not have batteries. Lenski wrote this note regarding the idea of having 10 virgins. He wrote, "This division of the number suggests that quite a host of Christians, that is, those who say they are Christians, will be found without sense at the Lord's coming." In other words, they will be found being foolish. They will be found without what they need on the inside. What I'm trying to say is, a lot of people think they have the batteries when they really don't. And it's not that they're trying to deceive anybody. They just don't know. They have been so thoroughly deceived. How do we get out of that deception? We get out of it by digging into the Word of God, and the Spirit will work through that Word, and He will show us the truth. Regarding the lamp and the oil, sometimes people go too far, but I think we can say this much, though. So regarding the lamp, I actually have a replica of the lamp right here. So you can see it's a very small lamp. This is an actual size. You can see the hole here where they would pour in the oil. You can see the hole here where they would have a wick sticking out there. So you put in the oil, the wick soaks up the oil, and you can light it and it will burn. But it probably won't burn very long, though, because it's a very small container. So what can we say about the lamp? We can say that the lamp is representing all those who say they are Christians, all those who think they are ready. But the problem, though, is that some of them had oil in their lamps. Some of them were trusting in Jesus. Other ones, though, did not have oil because they were not trusting in Jesus Christ. The problem is, all we see would be the outside of people. We don't know what's on the inside. Only God can see the heart. So it's easy then to be deceived because people are looking at us, they're thinking we're okay, and they're not even talking with us about Christ because they're assuming, hey, we look okay on the outside, so we must be okay on the inside too. When we really love people, it's good to sit down with them and have a serious conversation about what's going on the inside. Let's make sure that our loved ones really, truly know Jesus Christ. Dr. Kretzmann made this comment, "In Scripture, those are called foolish who do not obey the Word of God, but follow their own mind, will not be taught, and accept no opinion but their own." We don't want to be those ways. We don't want to be ones who follow our own minds, who will not be taught, who accept no opinion but our own. May God make us open to hear His Word and allow His Word to have its way with us. And then in verse 5, Jesus went on and said, "As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept." The point here is that they were sleeping, all of them, because they all thought they were ready. Imagine being a soldier, and you're out on the battlefield, and you know that the enemy is coming to where you are. Would you think about taking a nap before you had everything ready that could possibly be ready prior to that time? You would not. You would be so diligent in staying awake and doing everything you could. And maybe once every single thing was in place and one guy was watching for the enemy, then maybe you could drift off a little bit, but not until then. You wouldn't even think about it until then. But see, that's showing us, so that these five foolish ones, they really thought they were ready because they were also taking a nap. Lenski put it this way, "This sleeping pictures the security and the assurance with which the virgins awaited the bridegroom's coming. They felt that they were perfectly ready, that they could add nothing more to their preparation." It's good for us to examine ourselves from time to time. It's a real simple examination. Simply to say, okay, I'm alive right now, and someday I'm going to die, and when I die, will God welcome me into heaven, or will the door be locked shut? We simply have to ask the question, when I think about stepping across that threshold into heaven, is my confidence in me, in what I'm doing, or is my confidence in the work of Jesus Christ? And when we know we will enter because of Christ, hey, we are ready. Praise God. But when we think that somehow we're going to get ourselves in, then we know we are not ready. And God is saying, give up on yourself. You can't do it. And receive my Son and trust in Him alone, and you are ready. And then Jesus goes on in verse 6. "But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps." So the cry was at midnight. Probably for most of us, we are sound asleep at midnight. Imagine you're sound asleep in your bed, everything is wonderful, and then someone comes into your bedroom and says, "Wake up!" That would be quite startling, wouldn't it? You might even roll right out of the bed and fall on the floor when somebody did that. It would be a very shocking thing. But what does the Bible say, though, about Jesus' return? It says he will come like a thief in the night at a very unexpected time. It's interesting to hear that when they heard the shout, though, all of them rose, again, giving the idea that all of them were ready. And then Jesus said in verse 8, "And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.'" So what can we say about the wise ones? They had extra oil with them. What does that mean? It means that they were aware of their sins. It means they were sorry for their sins. It means they had their confidence in Jesus Christ. As soon as the foolish ones recognized their need, they immediately sought help. But it goes on, and Jesus said, "But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.'" So the wise ones actually gave very good advice, but the problem is the foolish ones received the advice too late. And there was nothing that could be done at that point. Jesus goes on in telling the parable, "And while they were going to buy," that would be the foolish ones, "while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut." So the Bible makes it clear that there is a time that has been appointed when Jesus will come. So we might be wondering day after day, will he come today? But God knows the time. God has already set and appointed the particular time. So here, when Jesus comes, those who know him, they will be welcomed in, and it will be a wonderful situation. We pick up in Revelation 21, where it tells us that at that time, there will be no more death, no more crying, no more mourning, no more pain. All the difficult things of life will be gone forever and ever. We have so much to look forward to. But then right after the wise ones enter, right after the ones that have something on the inside, right after the ones who have faith in Jesus Christ, right after they enter, then Jesus said that the door will be shut. So the door will be shut, the door will be locked, and the door will never, ever be opened again. So a very sad and shocking situation. But Jesus wants us to be startled a little bit. He wants us to realize that right now is the golden opportunity. Right now, God's calling everyone to receive my Son and be with me forever. But a day will come, though, when finally the door will be shut. That will end the opportunity to come in. And then Jesus said, "Afterward, the other versions came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you.'" So why is it that many will ultimately be left out? The Bible makes it so clear, simply because they do not know Jesus Christ. They don't have a relationship with him. Think about being home this afternoon and someone comes to your door. And you look out the window and you're thinking, "I don't know who that is. I'm not even going to open the door, let alone invite that person in." But if it happened to be, and you look out, it's like, "Oh, your best friend," you would gladly open the door, invite the person in, have a nice day with the person. So relationship makes a huge difference. God wants us to have a relationship with his Son, because that way we know him, he knows us, and we are ready for that day when he comes again. Here at Bethlehem, we are in the readiness business, and I also would call it the prevention business. In other words, the devil, the world, and our own sinful natures, they are working very hard to rip us away from Jesus Christ. So we want people to not only get ready for Christ, for his return, but we want people to remain ready for his return. So let me share with you three quick scenarios as to how we might respond to people. For example, when a child is not baptized, we urge them to very soon be baptized into Christ. What about a person who is trusting in his own goodness to get him into heaven? Well, we open the Bible to such a person, show them what the Bible says, and urge them to receive Jesus Christ as their only Savior. Or what about a person who is no longer hungry to hear the Word of God and to receive the very body and blood of Christ? For such a person, they are either dead in their sins or they're very spiritually sick. So again, we want to show them the Word of God. We want to say to them that when we are physically healthy, we have a great physical hunger. So when we are spiritually healthy, there's going to be a spiritual hunger. We're going to want to hear that Word of God. We're going to want to receive the body and blood of Christ. And what about those couple things? Those are the means through which God is working to keep us ready for Jesus. So that is the business that we're in here at Bethlehem Lutheran Church. We want to prevent everyone that we can from missing out on receiving God's great blessings and being a part of those great blessings forever and ever. Finally, Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." So we can't take the attitude and say, "Well, I know it's not going to be this week, so I'll kind of forget about God this week and I'll get more serious next week." We don't know when. So he says, don't think about it that way at all, but rather be ready now, and by the grace of God, as he works through his word, he will keep us ready moment by moment, day by day, until finally we are with God forevermore. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for knowing us. Help us to ever keep knowing you. Amen. Questions, needs, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.